In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In today's episode, for this first day of the new liturgical year, St. Paul tells us it is now the hour for us to rise from sleep. For now, our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. St. Paul is very direct. And Jesus in the Gospel tells us even more emphatically, look up and lift up your heads because your redemption is at hand. The fullness of time has arrived and we must be ready. The whole character of Advent is, could be summed up as holy impatience. Holy impatience. Veni Domine et noli tardare. Come, O Lord, and delay not. Countless times in the weeks ahead, the prayers and liturgical texts will repeat this idea, especially as Christmas approaches. The word we find most often in these weeks is Veni, come, and don't be late, and delay not. Advent is a word that means coming. During this time of preparation for Christmas, the liturgy invites us to reflect on the threefold coming of Christ. His coming in the flesh at Christmas, His coming into our souls by grace, and His coming in glory at the end of time to judge all things. The sacred liturgy, like the scriptures, brings to our mind three things: some past events, some present grace, and some promise of future glory. Advent brings this triple reality before our eyes in a very striking fashion. First of all, Advent reminds us of a past event, namely the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem more than 2,000 years ago. For thousands of years, the patriarchs of the Old Covenant longed for the coming of the Messiah, who had been promised at the very dawn of human history. We are no longer in the same position as our ancient fathers in the faith. They believe in the Messiah who was to come. We believe in the Messiah who has already come. This is why, even though the Advent liturgy is penitential in character, as we see from the violet vestments, the Church still sings the Alleluia on the Sundays of the season. In reliving the expectation of the Old Testament, we already have its accomplishment before our eyes. This is the reason for our confidence. The whole long series of Old Testament prophecies remind us that the coming of Christ is a central point of human history, the only fact which gives it its full meaning. Six 600 years before the time of Christ, the prophet Daniel announced the time of his coming, down to the very year, which works out to the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, as we will hear in the Gospel for the fourth Sunday of Advent. I think also about the prophet Micah, who foretold his birth in Bethlehem, and so on. So as we celebrate Christmas and we rejoice with the patriarchs whose prophecies have no been accomplished, our faith binds a strong confirmation. We do not celebrate an empty fable. In Advent, this past becomes our present. The Gospel today insists particularly on the final coming of Christ, his coming in glory as universal judge at the end of time. This future coming of Jesus, which will happen at a moment when no one knows, gives meaning to our whole celebration of Advent. We can join our voices and prayers to those of the patriarchs and prophets because even though from our standpoint, Jesus has already come, yet his second coming is still in the future. So we like the cry out for the coming of the Messiah. But Advent turns our waiting into hope because our hope is based on a certainty. Saint Bernard explains very well. In the first coming, Jesus comes in the flesh and in weakness. In the second, Jesus comes in spirit and in power. In the third, he comes in glory and in majesty. And the second coming is the means whereby we pass from the first to the third. If we wish to be among the saints at the time of the last and glorious coming, we need to open our hearts to Jesus now, in his second coming, the coming of grace. We must not be like the people of Bethlehem who found no room in their house at the time of the first coming. If we want to make good use of Advent to receive Jesus as he comes to us in grace, what can we do? In setting up our spiritual resolutions for Advent, we must bear 2 points in mind. Our resolutions must be concrete and practical. There is no use in telling ourselves some vague platitude like, this Advent, I'm going to try to be a nicer person. At the same time, our resolutions cannot be so ambitious that they are incompatible with our health, work, or family obligations. We will not be able to keep our resolutions, and we will end up being discouraged and giving them up. So, now, on this first day of Advent, let us make one concrete, feasible decision about what to do to prepare ourselves for Christmas by improving our prayer life, by mortifying ourselves, and by practicing greater charity to those around us. I'm sure that we all acknowledge that they have some progress to make in our spiritual life. At the very least, we should be sure to make a good confession before Christmas, clearing out our soul to ready it for the arrival of the Christ Jesus. Much as the Blessed Virgin and Saint Joseph did their best to clean out the cave in Bethlehem in preparation for the birth of Jesus. Today's gospel reminds us in striking terms of just who it is whose coming we prepare. The charming child of Bethlehem is the same eternal Son of God who will one day judge the living and the dead. He comes to us now in mercy so that we may not dread his second coming in justice, but a gift must be accepted in order to be enjoyed. When we think of the God who emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, to be born in a poor manger, we realize that many of the comforts in our own life are in fact quite useless. Is there perhaps, something we could do without this advent in order to attach ourselves more to heavenly goods, heavenly realities? Needless to say, mortification is immense and not an end in itself. Spiritual mortification. And I give tips. Especially the mortification of our tongue. Mortification of our imagination. And mortification of our judgments is even more important than physical mortification. Even if we ourselves do not have the financial means to give generously to others, we can certainly use Advent to practice the other corporal and spiritual works of mercy. In particular, we must not forget that spiritual poverty is one of the greatest tragedies of our time. So one way for us to practice the spiritual works of mercy during Advent would be to invite a friend or relative to Mass to celebrate Immaculate Conception, to celebrate Our Lady of Guadalupe, to celebrate all the Sundays of Advent, to celebrate Christmas, Midnight Mass, or on Christmas Day. Invite a friend or a relative to Mass, especially if that person is a lapsed Catholic who perhaps is just waiting for our invitation. Let's make a point of spreading our Christian joy and sharing the graces of Advent with others. If we can make some concrete, practical efforts in each of these areas, spiritual life, sacrifice, charity, we shall, with becoming an all, prepare for the approaching solemnities of our redemption. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.